So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for this opportunity to host Mel and Beverly and Hezekiah. And Lord, we just pray that we could go out on the highways and the byways and compel people to come in, that your house may be full and that hearts may be changed and transformed. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to ask Mac and Emmanuel, if you brothers would grab the baskets. We're going to receive the morning's offering. And I'm just so thankful for your stewardship. Today we're going to have a short congregational meeting following our service. We've got some refreshments, some food for you, courtesy Harvest. And let's receive the offering.
Also, Greg, can I just do a quick plug for the fact that Greg's messages now are online. Anybody that misses one can go on the website and actually click on a little date. And I'm still working on it, but I just want you to know that these messages, especially ones that are in series, if you miss one, you can actually listen to it really quick just by going online. It's Fort Bragg Grace Community Church.
And we're dedicating this song to Hezekiah, who's fallen asleep on the stage. Does he do that?
With his eyes open. So we have a crisis that's happening in the land. A fearful thing has happened in the land, according to Isaiah. And it has to do with the children. Today's talk is about the little children, all the little children of the world. And I need your help to talk this through, because this is a crisis of huge magnitude, and a whole generation is being decimated and destroyed. What are the things that offend children? What are the things that hurt, destroy, and offend children? Help me out now. What would you say?
Abuse.
Physical, mental, emotional abuse. What else?
Neglect.
Okay.
Lack of parental guidance.
Lack of parental guidance. Okay. What else?
About spiritual hunger.
Say it again.
Okay,
lack of spiritual nourishment, and so there's a huge spiritual need and hunger, right? Is that what you meant, Prince?
Yeah.
Okay.
Divorce.
Did you say divorce? That is a huge, devastating factor
Why did God make them one? Because he's seeking a godly seed, and when mom can't love dad, and the family, the nuclear family, is destroyed, that godly seed is destroyed. And sometimes it's even destroyed before it even hits the planet. It's destroyed in the womb. What do we call that? Abortion? What else offends and destroys and hurts children?
Mean words.
The what?
Mean words.
Mean words. Wow.
Lack of face-to-face communication.
Yeah. Ooh, in our technological age, lack of face-to-face communication. Nobody said spanking.
Yeah.
Why? My daughters called me and said, so Dad, I'm really, you know, we're got married now. I'm thinking through this spanking issue. So why do you think that spanking is good for kids? You know, good for children. And after trying to, you know, give her a biblical explanation, I could tell she wasn't fully convinced. I said, faith, because it makes for good kids like you and your brothers. Okay, so we have philosophical differences. That's okay, because the proof is in the pudding, and we're not divided. There are differences among us. Pam?
About the spanking issue.
No. That's, we're going to save that for the congregational meeting, okay? Wait. Is that your mother right there? Go, Helen. Okay. Amazingly, Jesus had a lot to say about the little children. And we're going to look at these as we approach the Word of God today. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the little children. As you said in Psalms, children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of our youth. And Lord, we thank you for the children, and we thank you for these children on the coast here who have yet to be introduced and to know about Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless our servants, Mel and Beverly and Hezekiah, and we say, blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord. We just pray that you'd use them this week as we put them out there to bring the message of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So Lord, we bless them, we welcome them, and we ask you, Lord, to instruct us now as we come to your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my message today is simply this. Children, esteem them, promote them, imitate them, and be like them. What would you say is characteristic of a child? What are the things, when Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, what are the things that characterizes children? Go.
Innocence.
What else?
Gullible.
Okay. Can we, is gullible a negative word?
Yeah, it is.
Can we change that to unpretentious? Does that mean the same thing basically? Just basically they're believing? There's a positive word, believing. Okay, what else?
Trusting.
Trusting. Unless you become as a little child, go. What?
Full of joy.
Yeah.
Oh, full of joy. Was that Nathaniel?
Yeah.
You bring a lot of joy. You still got a kid inside of you. Go.
Adaptable,
flexible. Yeah, adaptable. Adaptable, flexible. Okay. Say what?
They're
quick to forgive.
I think they're empathetic.
Oh, very, very. How about affectionate and empathetic? Yes.
Energetic.
Oh, energetic, of course. Yep.
Genuine.
Oh, there it is. See, that's that unpretentiousness. They're genuine. Okay, so Jesus said that unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus also said we are to protect them. We are to pursue them. We are to preserve them. We're to bless and pray for them. And we're supposed to bring them to Jesus and win them. How are we doing? What are some of the big hindrances to our work of winning children to Jesus here on the coast?
Intentionality.
That's a big word. What does that mean, Nathaniel?
Investment, mentor, discipleship, being intentional with our time to actually invest it.
Okay. Are you guys going to be intentional this week about bringing kids to Jesus and to church next week? That's great. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Bev. What else? Children learned what they live. Look at our generation. Look at our kids' generation. They don't have. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, I just read through a lot of parents. Well, we were doing youth ministry. Parents
wouldn't let them go to the youth ministry. No, you're not going to church. Where are the kids today? They're playing sports. A lot of them. We've apprehended the week so that we have sports programs running Saturday, Sunday, and they're on their gadgets, and we let it happen. Okay, so let's see what Jesus had to say about the children. This is Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, 10 and 14. At that time, would you read this with me? Let's do this together. Go. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little children to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will no enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Do you see how passionate that Jesus is about the little ones? In other words, you know the bar says no one under the age of 21? There's a sign, I believe, in heaven that says no one over the age of 21. Unless you become as a juvenile, as a minor, as a little child, you can't get there. And these are the qualities that Jesus wants us to have. Innocent, energetic, full of joy, adaptable, flexible, quick to forgive, cute. I don't know what the G word is, but
unpretentious, believing, trusting, genuine, affectionate, and empathetic. Yes. Is that you? Is that a good description of you? Well, if not, then you need to humble yourself and take a picture of a little child and say, that's my model, that's what I'm wanting to be. The cost of offending one of these, we have to protect these children. We have to pursue them. We have to preserve them. The cost of offending a little child, Jesus says that, and he's not talking about the millstone that the mother uses. He's talking about that donkey millstone, that huge thing that grinds out the grain that the donkey turns. That millstone hung around somebody's neck, thrown into the deepest sea, offending one of these little ones. And let me just tell you, our society is full of toxic offenses and jabs and bullying and technological, immoral content that's coming at them at breakneck speed. And we got to do something about it. We got to protect the kids. We got to preserve the kids. We got to pursue these kids. And I know you guys are passionate about this. Okay. You look handsome there, Isaiah. Man. Good looking young man. Let's go to verse 6. Matthew 18. But whoever causes one of these little ones, we read that. Okay, so let's go to verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels always behold the face of the Father who is in heaven. Oh, so I just love that text that we talked about in Luke 22 where Jesus says to Peter, Peter, put up your sword. Don't you know that I could summon, I think it was 12 legions of angels if I wanted to? Yeah. Now, if Jesus has that kind of heavenly military support, and we're his children, and we can say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, do you suppose you have access to angelic protection and preservation? Come on. These children, it says that their angels always behold the face of their Father in heaven. In other words, angels always have access to heaven's resources to help these little ones. And so when you're helping a little child, you are working in harmony and close to heaven's purposes. So, Revelation suggests to the angel of the church in Ephesus, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, do you suppose our church could have a guardian angel? Hey. Yes. So let's mobilize these angels, folks. Okay. Verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. We had a young man attend this church, Terry Peterson, and he went to San Francisco, and he was sitting on a park bench there. He had gone because his career was in art, and two YWAMers, I don't know if they were YWAMers, but two evangelists came up and started talking to him and asked him if he had ever heard the gospel, if he had knew anything about God. They led Terry to the Lord. He came back and led his parents to the Lord. They all became members, and they started reaching out. He was a bus driver, and she was a teacher, and their lives completely transformed. So I said to Terry, that's really cool. I love your testimony. He says, Greg, you know what? I went to school in Fort Bragg. I never once had anybody tell me about Jesus Christ or about heaven or about sin or anything like that. Never once. I never heard it. I had to go to San Francisco to get saved.
Wow. So We got our work cut out for us. The Son of Man, verse 11, has come to seek and save that which was lost. And he tells the story of the lost lamb right there between those verses. For verse 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This makes me believe that God is not willing that anyone should perish. And the window of time, they've done these studies and they've determined that if you haven't come to the Lord between 1 and 18 years, the chances drop dramatically that you will come to the Lord later in life. Most of the people come to the Lord and they walk away, but then they come back. And we've got lots of testimonies about that. Okay, so in the next chapter, in Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15, again, we have the disciples complaining about the noise. I remember being in a church. It was a national church, and somebody had brought... They always escorted the kids out. They went to children's church, and the babies were in the nursery. And some mother had snuck in a baby. And the babies just started crying out. And this national minister, ushers, do your job. And I saw this lady ushered out with this, screaming child. You know what was going through my mind? Perfect praise. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God had, it brought joy to my heart that there was some youth in the church, in the house. So I love the sound, the pitter-pat of children, and I sure miss it because we are now empty nesters. Okay. So here it is, Matthew 19. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. Who do you think was doing that? Probably their mothers. So the mothers are there. They've got their little kids. Will you pray for my little boy? Will you pray for my little girl? And the disciples are doing management. Okay, ladies, this is just not appropriate. Don't bother the master with the children. And Jesus corrects them. And he said, don't you love the King James? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Yeah, that doesn't mean you beat them. Allow the little children to come to me and do not forbid them. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Kids are where it's at, folks. Then he laid his hands on them and departed from there. I remember walking into church. I walked through the front door. And somebody said, Greg! And I looked, and somebody knows my name at church. Because I was a little guy. And they were talking about Greg Farr, who was standing behind me. And I realized, the most beautiful sound on the planet is your name. I say, Wilbur, Henry, Linda, Daphne, Nathaniel, Dylan. Wow. Your name. And the good shepherd knows the name, knows each of his sheep by name. We had four kids sitting on the front row today. Do you know their names? We had Peter and River. We had Aviana, and we had Jackie. Would you do me a favor? Would you learn those names? And when you see those kids, would you lay your hands on them? That's the way we lay hands on kids. Stop running. That's what they get everywhere they go. I had this young man come up to me in my neighborhood. We lived at Daniel and Deborah. I'm sure there's a biblical significance. This neighborhood, there was literally dozens of young people in this neighborhood. And one of the young men came up to me and said to me once, he said, "Mr. Escher, I want to thank you. Because every time I see you, you have an encouraging word for me, and you make me smile." He said, "My life is so bad, and everywhere I go, I'm either in trouble, or people are messing with me, or they're bullying me, and I just want to thank you for being my friend." This is a teenager in my neighborhood. You don't realize how significant these significant words of affirmation and affection mean to these young kids. And your example. Okay. We're going to go to one more scripture. Mark chapter 9. So he took the children and he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. So laying your hands on, you know, don't do this. You know, don't do this. Don't do this. But, you know, give them a pat on the shoulder. Say some words of encouragement and love. Okay, one more scripture, Mark chapter 9. Then he took a little child and he set this little child in the midst, kind of like Mel took Hezekiah, put him in our midst, and when he'd taken in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not only me, but the one who sent me, my Father in heaven." Wow. You're doing heaven's business when you love on the little ones. Let's pray. Lord, we try so hard to be mature and grown up and responsible, only to discover that we need to go and learn how to become as little children. Innocent, energetic, affectionate, empathetic, unpretentious, believing, trusting, genuine, full of joy, adaptable, flexible, quick to forgive. Lord, help us to become as little children. If you're here today and you have not opened your heart to Jesus Christ and given your life to Him, we encourage you to do that today and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is your Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you too shall be saved. So Father, now we come to you in Jesus' name. We pray for a new wave of affection and affirmation and appreciation for the little ones in our midst. And all God's people said, Amen.